This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite game show, Who's the Worst Duggar? Duggar v. Duggar, right? That is the question that that seems to be a lot of folks are asking as of late. So we're going to try and work our way through this a little bit. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We got a lot of Duggar news for you this week. Or more so, let's get you caught back up. In case you were living your life and didn't want to go down this rabbit hole, we'll get you up to date. Joseph Duggar went on national television in December of 2015, believe it or not, and told the country exactly what kind of man his brother Josh really was. He said Josh had been living a secret life. He said that when somebody you respect the most stands up and preaches about being true to your wife, you would never think that is the person who is involved in the stuff that he's alleged to have been involved in, or flat out convicted of being involved in. He said it broke his heart. It broke Joseph's heart to hear about Josh. What's going on in the back of that mind as this is coming out? What's on the inside that's like, please God, don't get me next? Oh, shit. Well, the tale of one brother's follies to the next did not exactly do very good to make much of an impact to deter him from his unpure ways, allegedly. 5 years later, according to an arrest affidavit filed in Bay County, Florida, Joseph Duggar was on a family vacation in Panama City Beach, and he asked a 9-year-old girl to sit on his lap numerous times. The affidavit said he later asked her to sit beside him on the couch, and then he covered the two of them with a blanket. He described the machine on national television, then allegedly he became it. So which brother is worse? Josh Duggar was convicted by a federal jury December 9th of 2021. The jury found him guilty of both receiving and possessing a little thing called CSAM. The judge later vacated the possession count because under federal law, you cannot be punished twice for the same act, and sentenced him on the receipt charge alone. That sentence was 151 months, 12 and a half years, 20 years of supervised release waiting for him on the other side. And then the offender registry after that. His release date was originally August of 2032. It's been pushed back now three separate times. It now sits at February 2nd of 2033. And later in the week on the program, we're going to be doing a deep dive into everything that's going on with old Joshy and all of his recent prison moves and why. But right now we're doing the Battle of the Duggars. Joseph Duggar was arrested on March 18th of 26. He faces two counts in Florida involving lewd and lascivious conduct with a person under the age of 12. One of those counts is what Florida law calls life felony. He, of course, pled not guilty. He demanded a jury trial. He posted a $600,000 bond, or should we say Jim Bob did, you know, the Christian thing to do, on March 31st and drove him home to Arkansas. And he's been there ever since. Two brothers, same house, 23 years apart. And in July of 2003, sitting right between them, Jim Bob Duggar took his oldest son to see a man with a badge. That one decision is the reason nothing that happened inside that house ever saw the inside of a courtroom initially. Now, the comparison you think you're making is a screen against a pair of hands. Josh looked at something. Joseph allegedly did something. One is passive, one is physical, and it feels like the whole argument here. It's not. Because Josh did not start with a screen. Meaning a computer screen or one of these screens. Jim Bob Duggar told police that he learned in March of 2002 that his son had been hands-on
with his sisters while they slept. Washington County report obtained by InTouch under the Freedom of Information Act showed that Josh confessed to his father on three separate occasions. It described at least seven incidents. Five girls, four of them were in his own, were his own sisters. The fifth was a babysitter, allegedly. The screen, meaning the content that was on his partitioned hard drive, well, that came 16 years after that. So the comparison is not one brother's crime against the other brother's crime. It is the same conduct twice in the same family, a generation apart. And the thing sitting in the middle of both of them, it's not a brother at all. In July of 2003, 16 months after that first confession, Jim Bob took Josh to a man named Joseph Hutchins. Hutchins was an Arkansas state trooper. He was also a family acquaintance. Under Arkansas law, a law enforcement officer who learns of a child being harmed is what you call a mandated reporter. He's required to call it in. Hutchins, surprise, did not call it in. You know why? Because people like this protect people like this. And it turns out he's a person like this. He gave Josh what was described as a stern talk and then filed nothing. Because of that 2003 contact, the 2003 contact, it counted as the report. The three-year clock had already run out of time. The time that Springdale police opened an actual investigation in December of 2006 and no charges were ever filed on any of that, not one statute of limitations is what the argument was, thanks to good old Joseph Hutchins, who happened to then be convicted in 2007. the officer, you know, that gave the stern talk. Well, he's serving 56 years in Arkansas prison for crimes involving illegal of kids. Shocking that he, like, hey, buddy, you know, I know how it is. Sometimes you just, you know, the devil gets in you. No, most people don't have that. That's you. That's not the devil. That's the piece of shit that you actually are. It's not Satan. It's you. Unless, of course, well, maybe that is the devil. Someone who does that to people. Maybe that's what that means. The evil incarnate in this world. A man like Joseph Hutchins, like Josh Duggar, and allegedly Joseph now too. He has since publicly said that the Duggar family worked to keep the full extent of it from him, of course. I didn't know everything. Far be it on me. The man they handed the problem to turned out to be the same problem. And the only reason any of it reached a police department is that on December 7th of 2006, the Arkansas State Police Hotline took two tips. On that same day, one came from an anonymous caller. The other came from Oprah Winfrey's production company, who said these people are too icky for the show, which had received an anonymous email because the family was scheduled to appear on the show. So not the church, not a counselor, not a trooper, a stranger and a talk show. Oprah saved the day. And when Springdale police opened the investigation, Jim Bob Duggar resisted. Of course he did. According to the police report InTouch obtained, he declined to produce his son for an interview. Now, why would a father hand his son to a friend instead of driving him to a police station? Because that is the teaching. These 19 children were raised inside the Institute of Basic Life Principles, otherwise known as a fucking cult, in my opinion. The organization founded by Bill Gothard, or whatever you want to call him. Its central doctrine is something Gothard called the umbrella of authority. His own words on tape, every one of us have umbrellas of protection, and if we get out from under the umbrella, we expose ourselves to the realm of the power of Satan's control. And just doesn't happen to mention that it's Satan's minions that are holding the umbrella. It's not a sermon. That's the policy. The doctrine does not say report it. The doctrine says the chain of command is the protection, and stepping outside the chain of command is where the danger lives. Handle it inside. Going to the authorities is going outside. And, you know, when the devil's holding the umbrella, don't question the devil, because in, you know, that world, it's couldn't possibly be bad. Bill Gothard stepped down, by the way, from that organization in 2014 after more than 30 women who had worked for him came forward with allegations against him. Are you noticing a pattern here like I am? Jim Bob seems to be friends with a lot of people that seem to have same sort of issues going on. Same sort of proclivities, if you will. Wonder what that's all about. So the doctrine that told this family never to go outside was written by a man who could not survive the outside. The officer they went to instead of the police is serving 56 years, and every institution the Duggars reached for instead of a courtroom was rotten on the inside. It's not a metaphor. That is the factual record of the case. In June of 2015 is the part almost nobody talks about much anymore, when the old police report surfaced. Jim Bob and Michelle sat down with Megyn Kelly on Fox News to explain themselves. Jim Bob said his son had been curious about girls. Michelle credited Josh for being the one who came forward on his own. Oh, what a big boy he is, Michelle. Big boy. You're beating him with a spoon when he was a child. You know, the blanket training shit. Maybe you should have just jammed that thing down his throat and called it a day. Like, maybe we shouldn't have kids. Maybe, you know. Once Rosemary's Baby popped out, number one, you know, they said the girls had been asleep, were too young to understand what had happened. And then two nights later, the family put two of the girls Josh had harmed on national television. Here, go stand up for your predator brother. It's what Jesus would want. The police reports that leaked had their names redacted. The system, for all of its failures, protected their identity. Their own family's public relations strategy did not. Jill and Jessa were named on Fox News because their parents needed to show. See, we're good. Everybody loves each other. We're shiny, happy mother. And Jessa, sitting in her parents' house in front of a national audience, defended him. Said she wanted to speak up for her brother against the names people were calling him. She said it was overboard, a lie. She said she could say that because she was one of those he had harmed. I'm sorry your family has failed you so, so insurmountably, Jessa, that this is how you believe, or did believe at that time. That is what the umbrella does. It does not just protect the person who did it. It recruits the people. He did it too. 16 years later, Josh Duggar built a password protection partition on a desktop computer at his, you guessed it, he became a used car salesman in Springdale, Arkansas. Come on down. Hot dogs and balloons for the kids. And if you happen to be a... Josh wants to show you something on his computer. He built it specifically to get around software that was reporting his internet activity to his wife. So they knew he was such an issue and he had such a problem with this stuff. They literally put software on his computer, and then he partitions the hard drive off, which takes some knowledge. I consider myself somewhat computer literate. I don't know how to do that. I think a lot of us know how to do that. But he did this in secret so he could go on the dark web. And he downloaded over 3 days of material in May of 2019. According to the Justice Department, the password on the hidden partition was the same password he used for his other personal and family accounts. He's a genius, too. He built himself a vault and locked it with the house key. Do you expect much more? I mean, I guess that's the good part about all of the children that Jim Bob and Michelle raised. They're mostly not that intelligent. And I do say mostly. there are some surviving members that have escaped, and good on them. Unfortunately, you know, they took all the good genes out of the gene pool, and the rest are like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Homeland Security raided the lot on November 8th of 2019. Agent Gerard Faulkner later testified that some of what they recovered ranked among the worst material he had seen in his career. And before the agents told Josh a single word about why they were standing on his property, Josh got into a truck and then asked whether somebody had been downloading illegal material involving. They had not told him. He said it first. That's not a tell. Again, was it the blanket training? Did you hit him in the head with a spoon too hard? Or is it just, do you guys just have really, you know, apple don't fall far from the tree. The genetics are just not there. The IQ level is just so low. And this is just what you get with some people. You just get a bunch of dipshits. And then you beat them with spoons to keep them on the blanket as babies. And then 18 some years later or whatever, they turn out doing this. I don't know the answer to that question. I do wonder though, like, he also told him on tape that he was not denying guilt. Josh Duggar grew up under that umbrella with the lights off. Whatever else is true about him, he was 14 years old and inside a system that had no vocabulary for what he was doing and no mechanisms for stopping it. Joseph Duggar watched that system fail in real time. He was 20 years old. When it all came out, he sat in front of a camera in December of 2015 and described a mechanism out loud, the secret life, the man who preaches one thing in public and does another in private, the person nobody suspects. He named it. And then, according to the Bay County Sheriff's Office in 2020, he did it. Hey, big bro. On March 17th of 26, the girl's father confronted him. And according to the affidavit, Joseph admitted it. Investigators then had the father call him back with a detective on the line. And on that recorded call, the affidavit says Joseph admitted his actions and said his intentions were not pure, allegedly. That's the one that always gets me on this story. He was sitting next to an extremely close family member. Of his wife, and says, a child, and says, his intentions were not pure. There's no around this. There's no like, oh, well, I'm glad you admitted it. Now let's get on with our day. Anybody, any human being who says those words aloud and means them, I think should be immediately met with a bullet to the head, don't you? I mean, it's like, oh, really? Okay, thank you. Have a nice day. There's already 17 more of you. We're going to be good. I don't see any way around something like that. I mean, what do you do? I mean, there's no rehabbing this. Somebody who actually has this thought and like literally it comes out of their mouth. Oh, well, I didn't have pure thoughts. Around the 9-year-old. What? What? Now, these are the allegations. Joseph Duggar has not been convicted of anything yet. He's pled not guilty, despite all the allegations that this is on tape and these are the things he said. He's entitled to a jury, and guilt by surname is not justice. Somebody wants to set the entire Florida case aside until 12 people speak. That is that's a defensible position. So set it aside because there's a second case. In March 19th of 2026, Taneytown police in Arkansas, where they lived, child welfare officials searched Joseph and Kendra Duggar's home. The next day, prosecutors charged both of them with four counts of endangering the welfare of a minor and four counts of second-degree false imprisonment. That case has nothing to do with Florida, although it is interwoven, and wouldn't have happened had the first one not tipped the domino that way. The four children named in it are their own, and they're between 3 and 7 years old. A source close to the family told People the charges stem from the home inspection and from door locks that were mounted on the outside of the doors. Both pled not guilty. They're due back in court in August. And on March 25th of 26, while his son sat in the Washington County Jail, Jim Bob Duggar wrote him an email. Jail email systems get turned over on request so we can read it. He told Joseph he had made some terrible decisions and that God has already forgiven him if he asked. Because that's how easy it is when you got the, you know, Satan's umbrella there. And in the same email about the charges involving his own grandchildren, Jim Bob wrote that it was ridiculous that they charged Kendra. He said the family was praying to get those charges dropped. How's that working out for you? In 2003, the answer was a stern talk from a man who is now serving 56 years. In 2006, the answer was jail email saying the forgiveness had already been handled and the charges were ridiculous. Same reflex, different decade. The only thing that changed is that this time it went through a government server. So which one is worse? By the record, it's Josh. He's the one the jury convicted. He's in the lead right now, I guess. He's the one whose material an agent called the worst of his career. And in more than 20 years, he's never once taken it. He blamed an employee at the car lot. He blamed his mother in text messages from prison telling Michelle to consider her role so that other children would not end up in the same situation. What the hell role is that? Again, is it the blanket and the knocking him with the spoon shit? Or what is the role there that you're not being accountable for, that you're blaming your mom of all people for? Or is it just your inherent hate for women? I think that might be part of it. In 2026, he told a court that he did not write and did not approve the 2015 statement in which he called himself the biggest hypocrite ever and that the television producers wanted it. He has been moved to four federal prisons in about 3 months, landing in Ohio in July of 26, and his lawyers says the transfers are punitive. By the pattern, if the affidavit holds up, it might be Joseph. Because Josh was a boy in the house with the lights off. Joseph was a grown man who had seen the whole thing burn down, who understood the mechanism well enough to explain it on television, who allegedly walked into it anyway. Josh didn't know better, some will argue. Joseph said it out loud. Neither answer changes a single damn thing. They're both evil pieces of shit, in my opinion. Because the umbrella is still up. Two families put out statements about the same girl. The Duggar statements run four sentences, two of them about the family. One is a request for privacy. The girl gets one. The Caldwells are Kendra's parents. They said they were troubled and heartbroken over the alleged actions of their son-in-law. They said they were devastated for the young girl. They also called her courageous in every way for sharing her truth. They said they stand by her in support and prayer and forever will. Caldwells had been living in a house that Joseph and Kendra owned. After the arrest, they moved out and they started a fundraiser to cover their housing costs. They chose their own girl over the roof.
Kendra, her sister, according to a source who spoke with Us Weekly, sided with the Duggars, with her husband, not her own flesh and blood. She was 9 years old on that vacation. She'd be a teenager now. For 5 years, she said nothing. And then in March of 26, she sat in a forensic interview room in Northwest Arkansas and told a stranger what happened. And the only reason there is a case at all is that her father picked up a telephone with a detective listening on the line. Not a church elder, not a family friend with a badge, not 16 months in a stern talk. 23 years and two sons, and nobody inside that family has ever picked up a telephone and called the police, not one time. In 2006, it took an anonymous stranger and Oprah. When the detectives finally came, Jim Bob would not hand over his son. How Christian of him, how Jesus-like that charlatan is. In 2026, it took a 9-year-old girl who carried it for 5 years and a father who was not a Duggar. You tell me who's worse. May not even be either of these. May go a little higher up. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Be sure to press subscribe. There's more to come this week on the Duggars. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.